Okay, welcome to Vassals of King's Grave. In this episode, we'll be reviewing the fourth season, fourth episode of Black Mirror, focusing on a futuristic society where a system matches couples together and puts people through various relationships before finding their ultimate match. My name is Glenn Tackle Surfers from the podcast Face and Fire Forums.
Hi, I'm David HHH on the forums.
Hey, what's up? It's Shadow Baby on the forums, Hannah in real life.
Real life.
Mando Jock 2 on the forums, Jock Mando in real life.
Hey, this is Tanya Silence on the forums.
Well, starting with yourself, David, so this is the only episode that you've watched so far?
It is. It is. I actually had just, I didn't even hear the show until you talked about it in the forums. So I'd heard the name, but that's about it. And then strangely enough, after you posted that and everyone was saying how good it was, someone at work, like just the day before, was like, "You have to watch this show. It's so good." And I was like, "Okay, now let me check it out." Especially if we're going to talk about it. Why not? Gives me an excuse to talk to you guys.
What a nice way to get eased into this show, I think.
Right.
I think it's a good episode for that. It feels very
Definitely one of the lighter ones.
True, that is true. I watched it with someone whose first episode it was, and he thought it was very, very dark.
Really?
Really?
I mean, the show
itself is, yeah.
Yeah, but particularly having seen other Black Mirror episodes, this is not one of the bad ones.
No, bad as this was a happy little ditty.
Yeah.
The forums do have that effect on me as well, that there's a lot of things that people have mentioned or shows that have been mentioned on the forums that then, that, you know, I'm more likely to give it a try if it's mentioned on the forums.
In fact, as a shout out, we have a podcast coming up of the best of the year. We're all going to give all sorts of recommendations. So
Hannah and I have contributed. So far,
I will soon.
Yes.
If anyone wants to talk to me about the Firefly board game, I'm up for that.
I haven't watched the show.
I agree, though, because you know, no offense to like my real world friends, but I kind of I respect like the opinion of people on the forums a little more, just because most of the people in my real life haven't read the books, so
I guess we all have a comparable taste on some levels.
Yeah. Because, like, I could talk to a lot of people about a lot of things, and they're like, "Oh, have you seen Game of Thrones?" I'm like, "Have you read A Song of Ice and Fire?" I'm like, what's that?
So, should we go around and say how many other episodes we've seen? So David hasn't seen any others. And
zero.
I've seen the first one of the season, and this one, and all the others, but I haven't seen it, as in, like, all the others of the previous seasons, but I haven't seen any others of this season.
I've seen every single episode of all seasons.
I probably will soon.
I binge-watch this hard.
Seems like the kind of show for that.
Yeah, I watched, like, the first three in no time at all, and then I watched all of this season basically the day after Glenn wrote that. I just sat and did it all day. I was in the middle of The Crown, and then I finished that, and then I did Black Mirror season 4.
We decided to watch something lighter after two episodes because we felt like it was a bit much for one day, but I did binge the first three seasons in like a couple of days or something. So so how do you feel like it overall compares to other Black Mirror episodes? Is it representative of the show in general? Did you like it more or less or as much as the other episodes on average?
This one, me?
It was my favorite of the one I've seen.
That's promising. I'd be worried if it wasn't.
However, it is also my least favorite.
Good point.
Well, having been, I guess, with the show since it began, so it has its roots back before Netflix. It was on Channel 4 in the UK, so I watched it, I think, well, it was on around Christmas time, I'm sure, 2011. So I watched
Hipster.
Maybe a few days later when it originally aired, and then was hooked on the first episode. But then, I don't know, the second and third one wasn't as good. Then it came back 2 years later, and similar thing, like explosive first episode, which was amazing, but then the other follow-up episodes weren't as good. But then when it came to Netflix, binge-watched all of those, and then was quite excited about, well, I was checking up on announcements, news, articles about when this season would come out, and there was various dates, November, December, maybe January this year, but was glad that it was released end of this year and have watched three of the episodes so far. I guess with this one, I was attracted to this one because this was in most of the adverts, that this is the most heavily promoted of the episodes, so decided to watch this one first. And I guess it, compared to the other ones, I feel like this is like a happy, ends on a happy note, whereas the other ones are quite downbeat, miserable, and quite dark episodes.
Cool. Oh, great. Yeah, so my friend who I'm trying to get to watch this is going to hate it, but we'll see.
Yeah, so I really liked it, and I thought, so it has, so the episodes that appeal the most to me are the ones that take some sort of technological concept and spin that a bit further, and that's what most episodes do, I guess, but for example, the first one in the first season, I didn't like at all. I didn't start with that one because I didn't understand how Netflix worked at the time, so I accidentally started with the third season, but it's good that I did, because I don't think I would have stuck with it if I'd watched the first episode in the first season first. And this episode, and this episode is one I really like because it's got some interesting ideas in it, and it has this technological aspect that I really like and comments on society. It feels somewhat similar to me to the first episode of season three, which is the first one that I ever watched. That's the one with the upvoting system.
Nose dive. Oh, the episode's title is Nosedive.
Possibly. I don't remember any of the titles, but I'm sure it's that one. And I really liked that one. I mean, that's the one that got me hooked on the series. So I overall really enjoyed it.
Despite having... Jock, your history with the show?
I think I started watching it in the second season on Channel 4, but not 100% sure, to be fair.
And which episodes have you watched from this season?
Just this one and the first one.
I wish you guys had all seen all of them. So.
I mean, we can do another episode.
I know. We need to, honestly.
We can do one later once I've seen them, once I've binged them all.
I'd be so down for just doing one episode per episode.
Me too.
So what's the best episode that we can expect? In your opinion, that is.
Oh my god. In the fourth season or in all of them?
In the fourth season.
They are. I think the season finale is really explosive and it has a lot more meat to like some of the other ones. I don't know, you gotta get there and see it, but
is it longer as well? Because I think
it's a little bit longer, I think, and it's very dynamic. I think it's a few minutes longer, and it's got a lot of dynamics going on in it. So the story itself's not really my favorite, but the way they constructed the episode is something I would like to see them explore more in future seasons, and I thought it was a great way to wrap this one up. And then the one that precedes that, by contrast, is so, like, the two of them buckled up together are really, really well done. And I think the one that precedes it is probably, it's the one that offers the most introspection and just like something to meditate and chew over, I think. So I would say probably those two last two. This one was good because it didn't make me want to like kill myself or anything. So
that's good.
I walked away from it feeling up.
That's always good.
I don't feel like it's as dark as other people I've talked to think it is, but I still feel like it's quite depressing. And if you think about the fact that these characters that we know and we've gotten attached to on some level are just in a simulation and they're just gonna evaporate after that. So I guess it depends on how you view that. I think it seems to affect different people very differently.
I mean, none of it actually happened, really.
Yeah, but so that's a bit. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
I want to know what happens to them now in real life.
Oh. Yeah,
like
that's a good question, isn't it?
Well, it's an interesting philosophical discussion too. Is if they had all these experiences, but it didn't really happen, does any of this matter? Did it actually happen? Like, if it was just a simulation, did it actually exist? Did it happen? Did these experiences happen?
Because it's a simulation. Remember when Amy skips the rocks all the time, and that she keeps doing it, and she says. Is it always four times? So I thought that gave you a clue that it did happen, and she has memory of similar things happening in the past.
Oh, I thought it was the opposite. Oh. I thought it was that was my clue that this isn't real. Right there was okay, this is a computer program setting the optimum number of skips or something, you know.
I mean, I figured it was a computer program, like some kind of simulation. Really early on, just because of Black Mirror being like Black Mirror.
That is a good point.
Because there are a couple other episodes that do somewhat similar things. And then the fact that I'm like, well, when the fuck do these people go to work and stuff? Like,
yeah, we were wondering about exactly. that. Like, where do they live when they don't live together?
Yeah, I was like, what like, society is this?
Yeah. Those were like the first things that kind of started bothering us. We were like, well, what is it?
Yeah.
Where do they go to work? What's like? Right. How is what do their lives look like outside of dating?
I mean, it seems
to be anything.
Just goes hiking in the woods and playing squash.
I didn't think that it was gonna be like what it was, which is basically a dating service.
Mm.
But I thought it was gonna be kind of like there's an episode in season one where. Clearly, there's been some sort of societal collapse, and people live very restricted lives. And so I thought it might be something like that, some sort of breeding program where you are in a simulation, perhaps maybe in space kind of thing, like... if you're on a ship of small amount of people, because when they have the little party, there's only a couple dozen people we really see in that aerial shot of the crowd. So I thought maybe this is some sort of Children of Men style breeding program, maybe in a dystopian future, or some kind of Maze Runner style game, I guess. Like, again, in a dystopian future, but... Yeah, I like the way it turned out better than that.
I figured that it was definitely some sort of artificial reality computer program, but I figured it was actually them in it, like that their consciousness was somehow in it in like VR kind of thing. So
that's what I thought too.
And that was an interesting twist that it wasn't even them at all. That was the twist. Like I totally expected that this world is fake. I was kind of already heading there, but the moment we had the stone skipping, I was like, okay, this is not a real world. They're going to have to find their way out of it. And I figured climbing the wall was the way out of it, but I didn't expect that it wasn't even them.
Have you guys seen The Lobster?
Yes. That's kind of what I was thinking. I was
thinking a lot about that. That was very similar.
Yeah, like that. Because again, a weird breeding program in a dystopian world. I mean,
briefly summarize this without any spoilers. The Lobster is a very weird movie that I saw with Bina actually a couple of years ago, and I have not quite recovered from it. And it's kind of set up on a somewhat similar premise as this one appears to be, and that there's a society where everyone's supposed to have a partner, and if you don't, then you need to go to this island where you're set up with someone. Is that how it works? And there's like some other weird shit going on, but like without spoilers, this is kind of
I don't know if it's an island, but it's like it's pretty remote, and
Yeah, I would recommend watching it, but I also have to warn anyone that I have not recovered from it. I don't understand what on earth. I just haven't recovered from it, and I never will. And this episode,
a pretty dark movie. It is.
I feel like this episode was The Lobster, but like less disturbing. What's everyone's experience with dating algorithms, which is, I guess, the sort of thing that this episode is about.
I felt like I was on them all at one point, so like I would try one, then it would get some minor success or no success at all, try another one, the exact same guys would be on that one, the new one that I'm trying, and then it would be just like the same, well, they were all basically the same, and the same results from it.
Yep.
Although, success story, I met my partner through online dating.
Well, there you go. Free ad there. Yeah, it's funny how the world is changing now. I mean, especially like as a gay guy, like almost all the dating and sexing and whatever happens is all online now. Like, you know, that's how you meet people. You know, everyone's met someone online or whatever. And
I know,
you know, it was
only one person in my life I've ever met like face to face. Everyone else has been online or some sort of online dating.
Yeah.
So this is the future.
But it hasn't, you know, the thing is that most of those, at least the gay ones tend to be more sex oriented, even if they pretend to be like, oh no, you're here to find your life partner. And then everyone's like, no, that's not really what we're here for. they say that so they won't like get taken off the, like the Android and the iOS stores. But you know, realistically, you know, people are sending you dick pics, you know?
But like in terms of like matching algorithms and stuff, I personally feel like so the way OkCupid, for example, works is that you answer a bunch of questions about yourself and your values and life and stuff. And you also like you mark which answers are sort of acceptable to you. Mm-hmm. And then you get a matching percentage based on that. And I have to say that if I have a high matching when I was still on OkCupid, I felt like when I had a high matching percentage with someone, that genuinely said something about how likely we were to get along. Though I guess it's also like a fairly straightforward way of calculating a match. Like I wasn't guaranteed to get along with that person, but if I had a match percentage below like 80%, it was not worth talking to them because they were like racist, sexist, horrible assholes. And
there you go.
And so I feel like there was definitely something there in the algorithm that made some amount of sense. But of course, I mean, I didn't find anyone through OkCupid, but I also didn't have any terrible dates. Like everyone I met up with, I think like three or four guys through OkCupid, and nothing worked out. But I also didn't have any like horrible dates or anything. Like it was, like everything, every encounter was at least okay, and so I feel like that one's not too bad. And I don't know how I feel about the one in the show, like in the episode, because I feel like the running away together thing strikes me as a really poor success metric, because I feel like there's so many other, I mean, I wonder if there's other outcomes that count as a match, or if running away together from the system is the only possible match. I guess we haven't really seen that. But if that is the only possible match, I think that's terrible, because there's so many factors that would play into that. And there's so many reasons why you would choose not to run away. And maybe like two people who wouldn't run away from the system for similar reasons might actually be a very good match. And
although we don't know really the full algorithm, we've only seen these two. So it could very well be that, you know, if two people are happy and settle down together, that's a match too, you know?
Yeah, but like at least what we saw struck me as a pretty terrible algorithm, and I was actually quite frustrated about that. I care about algorithms a lot.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, you've got almost two algorithms. You get the algorithm within the algorithm within the actual like storyline. You know, you've got their algorithm, then you've got the one that we later find out at the very, very, very end is what's going on. But we don't know for sure that that's, in fact, the only method of victory. You know, it could have been if we settle down and have babies, that's a win, you know?
Sure. I mean, that's a good point. But if it was, like, if it is the only success metric, then I think it's pretty terrible. But maybe it isn't.
It's good if you're the kind of person who runs away. If you're not that kind of person, you're screwed.
But that's the thing. Like, two people who wouldn't run away for the same reasons might just be a really, really good match. So, exactly. And I also just on the like for the kind of meta algorithm, I guess, that pairs up a lot of people. Like, how did you feel about that whole system, like being matched into relationships?
Oh, I was that horrified help by that. Update? The fact that you could be matched up with someone and have to spend 10 years together and you hate each other.
I mean, that's true. I feel like they're having to stay together, but it doesn't. To me, at the end of the day, it didn't seem like the having to stay together with someone when you clearly don't get along seemed pretty terrible. But apart from that, it didn't seem that different from how dating actually kind of works, because you do kind of go through a series of encounters with people, and that shapes your personal idea of who you want to be with. And
right, I think the algorithm in the story makes sense as long as you don't have a set end date. Like, the set end date part is the only part of it that really doesn't work. If you had the, you know, if you had the, okay, Tanya, I'm gonna set you up with Jock, and if you two work out, great, and if you don't, like, there needs to be a user, like, abort button, you know. If there was an abort button, then it would be fine.
To be fair, I also think in real life people often stay together for fear of not finding. True. Like, in my first relationship, I stayed in that relationship much longer than I should have, because I was at the time very convinced that I would never find anyone else, which was pretty ridiculous, but never mind. But I know a lot of people feel that. A lot of people feel that way, right? A lot of people stay in relationships much longer than they should. And I feel like there was some value in that relationship that I could have gained from it by being in it for some amount of time. But I also could have left it much sooner. And I feel like, I don't know, it doesn't strike me as that terrible, the whole meta algorithm thing. I'd probably be the kind of person who doesn't run away from it, because I'm like, I trust the algorithm. If you find me a perfect match tomorrow, I'll give up on this person. I care about
the moment like someone did something that pissed me off and I was like done with them, I'm done with them, and I would I would totally want to be like, I need out. And I can't imagine, like I mean, from the moment of, like, you know, the great sex scenes they both have, you know, when she's like telling him, you know, like, no, I need to turn away from you, and like, no, that's not how you do it at all, I'd be like, okay, abort.
I mean, not being able to get out is an issue. I think having the end date,
that's awful.
having like a maximum time period is actually something I'm okay with. I just feel like not being able to quit sooner is a problem.
What did everyone think about? So they both agree to have sex, so they click a button to say they consent.
Oh God, yeah, let's talk about the consent.
That was perfect. That's a great idea, at least for, you know, you got consent. And can I just say
that? Is it though? Is that really a great idea? What if you, like, because you get to change your mind? Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to do this. Hold on, I can't reach my thingy. Oh, fuck, I'm stuck.
It's better than not having consent at all, I guess. It's a step forward, if not the perfect solution.
That is true, but it also strikes me as very, I don't know. Yeah, I agree with that. I'm a huge fan of consent. But, like,
doesn't raise the issue of, like, if you're dating someone for 9 months, I consented tonight, but maybe not tomorrow. That issue doesn't. But that's an issue in all relationships, I guess, so.
I mean, I guess you can toggle that, right? Presumably. I don't know. I would hope so. I would hope that you can revoke consent on the whatever app thing.
Although I have to say, that was actually one of my favorite moments in the whole episode, when he comes out of the shower naked and hot as all hell, and he's like, "I will. I find it's best if we have sex right away to break the ice. I'm gonna hit consent whenever you feel ready." Click. She had said, like, she had said, like, before barely finishes the sentence. I admit, I would have hit that button even faster than her.
I didn't think he was that hot. I was not.
Oh my God, he was amazingly
hot. I think she's really pretty, though. I'm really into her.
Frank's better looking, though.
Not my type. I think she's really hot, though. I think she's very, very hot. But I don't know. Yeah, the whole consent thing gives me out.
But, you know, it's a great moment where, you know, he's like, whenever you're ready, click, I'm ready.
I don't know about that. I really don't know.
Love that.
I feel like, I don't know. I mean, it makes consent so, like, binary, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know how detailed this is. I don't know, like, how many how many options there are and what you can specifically consent and not consent to. Like, he said something like he's consenting to everything, so there must be, like, options. But I just,
right.
It just weirds me out. I'm not a fan. I don't know. I thought that was weird. I'm glad they addressed it, I guess, as well.
I also liked
that the system didn't force them to have sex.
No, that, right. I thought that was really good. I appreciated that. I was worried about that when they first, like, went to the house thing.
I mean, we're in a house together in a bed and we have 18 hours. What's the plan here?
Well, I like how it gives you the ability to consent to, because let's be honest, when you're with somebody, you're like, you don't really want to be in the middle of getting down going, I'm into everything except for choking and anal.
You know, which is why you should be discussing these things before.
So. Which is not, I mean, it's not like, that's not me personally. I'm just saying that's an example. Dear reader.
Hannah. We love you, Hannah.
Seriously. Seriously,
I mean,
though.
I'd rather have a conversation about it. I think this is super important. But maybe well, I'd rather have a conversation about it than like toggle a few switches on a device.
But that's kind of why I like the idea of that, though, because you could still talk through it. But
so like in the moment when you're like, oh, I'd really like to choke my partner now. Oh, let me just quick check what the device says about whether I'm right.
I mean, I think it still warrants a conversation. Like, they obviously make it easy on the show because he just says, I'm going to consent to everything right now.
But he does, in fact, they do have a very, very, very brief conversation about it. In this case, it's brief because they both clearly want to.
And I think it's good because it does, it might not have been a perfect portrayal on the show, but at least it did bring up something that's very clearly an issue in our society right now, which
yeah,
is...
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm glad they brought it up.
Consent. Yeah. And so I do feel like perhaps that is the next step in a society where we need to use the biometrics on our phone to sign waivers with each other. That way, I mean, if that's what we've come to, I think that's sad as a species, but it might be worth it because that way no one... Well, yeah, no, but no attacker could ever stand in court and go, well, she wanted it, you know?
Right.
Or he wanted it.
I guess. That is a good point.
Because you can look back and go, no, she didn't. And I think that, you know, as the technology grows, clearly, like, in this world of Black Mirror, they know, because they have coach, you know, so they know it's, like, actually those entities giving the consent. You can't drug somebody and then forge their consent in any way. And so I feel like there'll also be a way to, you know, your phone will make sure that you are conscious and of your own volition. Like, I mean, my phone can already read my heart rate. It can measure my stress level. It can measure my pulse ox. Like, it could know if I'm under deep, deep stress while I'm signing this thing. So I feel like, you know, perhaps we are moving in that direction. Perhaps it is, like my husband always says, locks only keep honest people honest. Right. And you can't totally erase criminal element. But I do think that there are a certain amount of sexual abuse that happens where it's not necessarily a serial rapist, but it is someone who didn't care about getting consent.
Yeah.
Or didn't care that they were hurting someone in the moment or whatever the excuse is. I don't think that's indicative of a born sexual criminal all the time. But
and in the heat things
gray
happen.
Area things, you know. Yeah, in the heat things happen
and,
when you're
and people lose judgment.
Things happen.
I was just gonna say alcohol and drugs can totally mess up judgment, you know. That doesn't excuse
you
it.
Know,
but.
I pictured my husband into having sex when he's not really in the mood. That's not right of me, though. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how badly that's hurting him. And to do it to someone who I'm not engaged in a really open relationship with, you know, and a very intimate friendship with, could be detrimental to that person. Women can be attackers like men can. And so I think it's important for women to also make sure that they're getting consent. You know,
yeah,
people
definitely.
Don't talk about it, but it does happen.
Yeah.
And it happens a lot more often than we want to admit or acknowledge.
Yeah, I was thinking about this when I was mentioning.
Of, is during like the montage of Amy's relationships. So Frank's with the same girl for a year, but then Amy goes through, I don't know, like 10 separate relationships of very small 2 days, 1 day relationships.
Yeah.
And they have one where she's hooked up with a girl. And I was thinking, does the system like differentiate based on a person's sexuality? Like, would they
presumably,
match
right?
up
like, if you
men and
if,
men,
I was
hope, I would hope, but
I was almost a little offended by that, actually. Because, well, that like, well, what Glenn is saying, like, does it acknowledge her own desire, or does it just dare to throw a woman at her? Like, would it have thrown a man at? Oh, fuck, I can't remember
Frank.
The other guy's name. Frank.
I mean, to me, it felt like this was kind of supposed to replicate a dating experience someone might conceivably have, and there are people who.
Right.
So first of all, attraction isn't necessarily as straightforward. Like, some people are bisexual,
right.
and identify and are more attracted to men than to women, or the other way around.
Right.
So like, it's not necessarily, you can be bisexual and it doesn't have to be 50-50.
I'm not offended by that. I'm offended
yeah.
as a straight woman.
Mm.
People, they will like guffaw over the fact that I have no desire toward women whatsoever.
I would assume.
And they don't believe
yeah.
it, and they, you know, it's,
right.
You don't like women? Well, you love my tits, don't you? No, I don't fucking like women.
That is so gross.
It's
I mean,
so gross. I am not attracted.
Funny and awful at the same time, yes.
I can appreciate that you are a good-looking woman, but I do not want to have anything to do with you in that way. You're gross. Yuck. No.
I mean, I would assume the system would take that into account. To me, it felt more like it was sort of supposed to replicate the way some women in that situation might feel like experimenting if they've had like a series of one night stands or very short relationships, and they might just end up also experimenting with another woman. I don't know if she's bi or if it's just.
Right,
but that's kind of what triggered me, is like, it's so okay for society to think that way, like. I don't know. It seems like it's fine to be gay and it's fine to be bi, but it's not okay to be a completely heterosexual woman. You must want to get down with a chick at
yeah.
some point. And then
that's
it's going to be
better.
Every fucking thing you see.
But Hannah, something to consider. This never happened, remember? So when we talk about, we have to remember when we talk about this, to talk about it on two levels. There's what happened in the story and in this world, right? But that happened to fictional characters that don't exist. That happened to computer programs. Then there's what happens in the. Then there's outside of that, you know, the real these two people and what
mm-hmm.
they're going to experience. But none of that has anything to do with this. So we do have to remember that everything in this world, including the consent and all that stuff we talk about, didn't actually happen.
And I think an interesting
like
aspect of that is also
the way the show did it. If they had established more of her being curious or something, it wouldn't have bothered me. It's just the flippant way they threw it in, and then the fact that it's the last one they show, and like
right.
they had to slip it in, and I don't know, it just it
okay,
was disappointing. Do you know what I mean? It just felt like gratuitous at that point.
Yeah, I guess I feel
that's
like if there'd been like a couple of women, I might have been that's true.
Exactly.
If there'd been like a
that,
couple of women,
yeah.
I would have been more
if
comfortable.
If it had been more
guess,
mixed
still.
Up on her end,
yeah.
or
here's
you know,
the
we
thing.
Had back profile.
Here's the thing.
You
the
know.
Question is, how much does the computer program know what you want, and how much does it hook you up with people to find out what you want? Because, I mean, realistically, clearly, you know, our guy here, Frank, is it, you know, is not at all compatible with the other woman he meets right after her. Like, clearly there's nothing about their compatibility at all. So
it's
however it puts it together,
her, right?
Right. However they put her together, clearly this wasn't like it knows what he wants, and you know, like because it did badly there. And
so that,
you gotta,
that was
you have to assume that it's kind of guessing. So the question is, in a situation how much does it actually know before it pairs people up? Or is it deliberately putting people with people they aren't going to be happy with to learn? Because remember, they would ask, why did you do this? We have our reasons. You know, there's always I forget the exact wording they use, but, you know, it's like there's always a good reason for it. So it might even be in the situation that, you know, they put her with her to see if she'd be disgusted or, you know, maybe she'll be interested or who knows, you know. And then what do you do with the situation of a closet case who hasn't even admitted to themselves? I mean, there's so many people in our world today who don't know that they're gay or bi. And
I think it also raises the interest. It also raises the question, like if you sign up on OkCupid today, you can see a match percentage with like with anyone on there, right? You can set your preferences to only show you men or women, but if you if you look at anyone's profile, it's going to show you a match percentage. Does that mean that the system runs simulations for everyone of every gender all the time anyway? Like, does that mean for every pair of two straight women on this dating app, that's going to be 1,000 simulations?
Right. I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying, too, is, like, the fact that we're never shown him being paired with a man for any reason. Again, there's no explanation for why she's paired with a chick. And then the other element of it that kind of bothered me was that he's only ever given her, and then the other woman who obviously he's not compatible with and she is not interested in him, then they have to spend a year together, fine, whatever. But then they show her having all these other sexual encounters and that's all it is, and it just seemed really one-sided. Like, I don't think it was it's funny because on the one hand it's like, are they kind of saying that she's more promiscuous than him? And then on the other hand, it's good because it is okay for a woman to be promiscuous, like any hetero man would be. That's fine, too. And there's no shame in that if she wants to have a lot of sexual encounters.
I think
fine,
it's important.
But it kind of rigged the system for her that way.
Right. I think we have to remember, though, that we're talking about, you know, a 45-minute story where we can't get every permutation of everything, and they're trying to show a few representations. You know, is this always what happens? Maybe that's just who she is as a person, and they were trying to be sex positive. Maybe, you know.
And that's okay.
And we don't, and the thing I think we do have to remember is that we don't understand this algorithm. And let's also remember, this algorithm doesn't really exist. You know, theoretically, you know, we could argue that they're hooking up millions of people, you know, in just this one simulation, you know, because presumably, you know, we see another couple who found their perfect match.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing I want to know.
So none of that actually exists, you know, unless somehow they're all, like, simulating each other. I mean, we don't know how it works. Are there separate algorithms for each couple?
That's kind of the sense I got from it at the end when they start to break free, because nobody loses their autonomy.
Right. At first, I thought maybe we're all in this world, but I feel like that's not the case, in which case every other person we see in this thing is irrelevant, realistically. I mean, her relationship
based on a real consciousness, but they're clearly not, active in their simulation.
Right. And we don't know, you know, what... We also don't understand, even in the world itself, let's say the ending didn't happen and it ended with them like jumping over a wall and running into the wilderness together or whatever. Like, we still don't know what the algorithm was. We don't know the purpose of anything it did. They tell us that it's for the best and that, you know, just trust us. But for all we know, it could be deliberately trying to turn her into a whore. You know, I mean, we have no idea what the actual algorithm is. So it's hard for us to judge anything based on, you know, ultimately a very small sampling. We saw like 10 dates total, you know, could have been anything. And obviously in an hour story, you can't get that detailed, and that's fine, you know, but
reverse, and like he sleeps around as much and she only has one other partner.
Right.
We don't know how the...
Right. I mean, you know, we're Vok. We want all the details. We want all the little... I mean, you know, we spend, you know, 3 hours talking about two chapters of a book, but...
I have no idea how badly. I just want to know how the algorithm works.
I know. No, me too. I'm saying that's how we're kind of hardwired. You know, we're hardwired to want these details. Your average viewer doesn't want these details, and in fact, if they gave these details, would tune it out. Like, if this was a 2-hour episode instead of a 1-hour, you'd lose half the audience halfway through it when they gave us the stuff that, like, the us that we want to see. You know?
Well, I think that different things do happen each simulation, just based on the fact that it's different. Like, they're both wearing
right.
different clothes by then, so some
right.
there are
and one and a half percent
changes.
And 1.5% of the time they don't run away, so
yeah. Well, 0.2% of a
right 1.2 whatever it was, yeah. Or 0.2, yeah.
Yeah, but
you know
like,
what I mean?
But also,
but
like, but if
know.
You if you use these kind of resources for dating in the first place, which is comparatively, like, I mean, currently we could probably probably have better dating algorithms if we allocated more resources to it, but we just don't
right.
bother because we don't see this as one of the big issues in society, right? Like, we could allocate more computational resources to it,
right.
and I guess if this is computationally expensive in that world, then they probably wouldn't do it in the first place. I think they'd probably only do it if it's feasible to do it for a large amount of people. And then you might as well do it for everyone, and maybe there's not much point in doing pre-processing, even though I feel very sorry for the whole simulation clones
well,
of people with like
well,
a 10%
like
method.
I'm not sure I agree. I feel
probably...
like it's probably got to be expensive. It's got to be super expensive and resource hungry, and you probably only want to do it when there's a good reason to. You know, I mean, it's sort of like,
if you
it's
already
like healthcare.
Know that people are matched fairly well, then why would you... But, like, I don't really care if I've got a 95 or 97% match percentage with someone.
Right, but there's a big difference between 75 and 95, or, you know?
Yeah, I guess that depends on how good your pre-processing is, right? I don't know.
Maybe there's more simple Japan, Russia.
Think about
how... Japan, Russia, and South Korea all think it's quite a big problem.
Maybe there's pre-processing that just simulates a first date between everyone.
Right. Because if you think about it, I mean, think about how just this one incidence, how much processing power this would have to use. It would take the two of them through, I mean, it was what, a year or two? You know?
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be a lot of processing power just for, like, you and me. Let's see how we work the first time. Never mind the, if we got a 99.8 or whatever it is, then they obviously ran this several hundred, if not thousand, if not million times.
A thousand times, right? They're doing 1,000 simulations. But if you're bothering to do that, then it can't be that insanely expensive. Otherwise,
or it could be that we only, or it could be something, say, only the rich get, or something that only.
That is true.
Maybe you only get to do this three times in your life, you know, and you're going to use it now or that's it. You know, like I like you so much.
True.
Let's see if it works. Or I think you're hot. So let me check you or whatever,
Do you think people are aware of how the algorithm works in the same way that we know how OkCupid matches people, for example?
I don't
that's
know.
That's what
I
was
it's
thinking.
Kind of the same sort of idea as what if video games are the or that sort of thing. You don't really know what's going on.
Oh my god, Jock, I was
anything.
Just about to say Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that a little, yeah. What if your toys come
right.
to life? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking it's also probably, given that they are meeting physically together, there has to be some sort of, like when you go for a job search online, you know, you narrow it down. If you're not willing to relocate it,
mm-hmm.
you narrow your search within 50 miles or whatever, but if you are willing to relocate, then you go 1,000 miles.
Right.
So I'm sure there's got to be some sort of proximity that weeds down the potential matches to begin with. Like,
or you could decide how important looks are, or like I only want blonde guys, or you know, bald women, or you know, whatever it is you're into. You know, you could narrow it. You know, you could be like, look, I really want to end up with someone who's tall. So, you know.
I wonder, though, because of like the success rate is based on the simulations. But if they're advertising it as successful, so is the public aware that your consciousness will be inverted into this simulation based on that the success rate of however many simulations is how we'll match you. So trust that when you start dating, or just we have a 98% success rate. They don't tell you why.
Right.
But then
you
just
sign
trust
your life
it
away.
Anyway.
You just sign your life away. Right.
Like,
who knows?
Yeah. It's,
we can't really know. And it's probably,
this is why
even,
this show is great though, because we could spend this amount of time on every episode.
Right.
It
raises so many important questions, and we should, I agree. I think we should do a full-blown series of these. I love it.
I'd be so up for it.
Well, I probably need to watch more than
the near black watch the black mother rewrite.
Yeah, I agree. And David, now go ahead and watch the very first episode and then check back in with us.
Well, here's a question. So a friend and I are probably going to watch it tonight, maybe, because we get together and we can never agree on anything. And I'm hoping from all that you've said, it gets bleak that maybe he may not like that. But I'm trying to always try to find he likes like light rom-coms and like gay, silly stories. And I like
don't watch the
serious
first
art.
Yeah,
don't watch the first episode if you want to get someone. I think the first episode, first season, is not a good introductory episode. Okay. I think this one, for example, is a good introductory episode to the show overall, because it gives you kind of a good idea of what Black Mirror is, how it works. You kind of
except that if I hadn't just watched it, I want to watch a new one. So.
Yeah, no, of course.
Is the Junipero one a good one for that? Or
I would say season one, episode two.
What is that?
That's the one with the bikes.
15 and the million merits.
Oh, that one. Okay. Yeah. That will work.
You'll probably enjoy that one. But the first one, season one, episode one, I wouldn't watch with anyone else.
Not a good introductory episode. Don't watch
very uncomfortable.
Watch anything else. Yeah, okay. That's also not very representative of Black Mirror. I don't know.
I watched them all in order, and I can tell you I only watched the second episode because I didn't know that it was standalones. I didn't realize that when I watched it. And I just wanted to see how the fuck they're going to continue a show.
Right?
So out of curiosity, I started the second episode, and about 15 minutes into it, I realized,
oh,
I have to do with the other one. And I closed it out and looked it up, and it was like, oh, it's like Twilight Zone. Okay. And then I kept watching.
Do these happen in the same world or no? Because I read that somewhere.
There are theories about it.
I feel like they are in the same universe.
Not necessarily. Like, possibly, but
I think some of them definitely not. Like, some of them seem like they would exclude each other. I think some could fit in the same universe, but
you do see technology in some of the episodes repeat in future episodes, which indicates that it's the same universe.
But not necessarily.
Yeah, like there are the same companies.
Right. You don't. There aren't ones you have to have watched another one first to really get.
No.
Right?
No. You can watch any individually. The first one I ever watched was season 3, episode 1, and I think that's a good introductory episode. I think that's not too dark.
Oh my god, that one is so dark to me.
Is it?
Yeah. It's funny how we have such different opinions.
That's Nosedive, right? The one
with the boats.
Yeah, oh my god, yeah. That to me was the most, like, heartbreaking. It almost put me off the series. That's the first one that Netflix took it over. So it was, the first two seasons are done by a British production company, and then they were done with it, and Netflix bought it and picked it up and put it back on. So that's where the first, like, the American stuff comes in, and I just thought that one was so depressing. Yeah. And it is not in a brutal way.
I think some of the others are much more gruesome. I think this is like, I don't know. I think it's a good introductory episode.
Honestly, like, season 3 to me was just harder. Like,
it's really, like, my favorite one is the one with the VR, and I think that's incredibly rough.
San Junipero?
No, the other one. The one with the horror game. That's more than one VR episode. The one with the horror game.
That was dark, too.
That really freaked me out.
I think, like, the first episode of season 1, though, is...
Oh, I loved that. Watched it so many times.
Really? Why would you do that to me? It's not that it's dark, it's just... So I watched all of the third season, and then I watched the first episode of the first season, and I was, like, 2 minutes into it, and I was like, oh, this is... What did Netflix do? This is not the same show, is it? What's happening? And I was really confused, and I had to...
See, that's how I felt when watching season 3. I was like, this is... Really? It's different. Yeah, well, because you started on where it changed.
Right, okay. But I didn't feel like going back, like... The rest of season 1 and season 2 kind of works for me. It's really just that episode that doesn't fit in for me, having come from season 3 first.
Yeah, that one is like, it's brutal, David. Like, it's, mm-hmm. The theme of that is extra.
I love how like, people perceive
it. For me, I'll probably really like it. It's just a matter of will he.
I think you should watch it alone. It's because it goes into some really uncomfortable themes. And I personally, it's not one like, hey, kids, let's sit around the TV and watch Black Mirror, you know?
Have you watched any with your kids?
Me? Oh, God, no.
Okay. I feel like there's some that you probably could. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
No. He's only 10.
All right, okay. I would totally watch the nosedive one with my kids.
Oh, no.
I'm saying he's not having any kids. But
he's only 10, and I just let him.
The day my children sign up on Facebook, I will sit them down and make them watch this episode with me.
For like the first 5 years of his life, we wouldn't even let him watch Looney Tunes because of the slapstick stuff.
Right.
We didn't want to have him see that violence is funny in any way. Okay. And then as he got older, we started letting him expand that. But we don't let him watch anything that has any sort of sexuality. And he's at 10, he's not interested in it. Like when people kiss, he's like, ew, you know. So I barely just... Because he would, like, come over my shoulder while I was watching Stranger Things. And he was like, oh, what is this? So he got a tablet for Christmas. And I told him he could watch Stranger Things if he wanted to. Because I don't feel like it's that bad.
Really? I can't watch that. I'm not old enough for this.
Well, I mean, it's scary, I guess. But I don't think that it had a lot of, like... I guess some of season two is, but he's like, he said to me he wasn't ready for that. Do you know what I mean?
That's how I feel about Stranger Things.
He's got a pretty good meter on what he...
That's really good.
...is, you know, gonna watch and stuff. Like, we pay for premium satellite TV, so HBO and stuff is on there. He could flip to it anytime, but I've never, like, walked in and caught him watching something he shouldn't, because he knows what is appropriate and what is not. And he's just not interested really in things that aren't age appropriate, and those kind of themes make him uncomfortable, so he'll turn away, you know.
That's good.
I
did that for the longest time, and then I went through this phase of staying up till like 2 a.m. and watching horror movies that were not age appropriate. But like till I was like 12 or so, I was doing really well, and I was always like leaving or turning off when something came on that I wasn't ready to watch.
And if he's not sure what changed, he'll go, can I watch this? And we'll look at it and go, no, you know, better not. Or,
that's really good.
I don't think you'll like it, you know. Mm. So, he's a really good kid, honestly. Yeah, we don't really have to worry about him a lot with stuff like that. It's like, we let him do the violence a little bit, like, but still with the sexual themes, we kind of keep that.
I mean, I grew up on Grimm's fairy tales, so like violence is not a big deal.
We just didn't want, as a very young child, like a toddler, for him to think that violence was entertaining or funny, you know. Even though it is just cartoons and it's slapstick and
that makes sense. That makes sense.
We didn't want our kid running around hitting people. He was never going to be that. You know.
My mom read Grimm's fairy tales to me, so I think it's normal to roll people down a hill in a barrel that has nails on the inside. Six explains it. This is my childhood. Anyway, I've got like one more random comment that I couldn't fit in about the episode. I feel like 5 years is a shitty amount of time to be together. I would not want a relationship to last 5 years. I feel like less is okay.
No.
Because you don't... I feel like less is all right because you don't waste that much time on a person that you don't ultimately end up with. And I feel like more, if it's like a long-term relationship, even if it doesn't eventually work out, there's some value to that as well. But I feel like between like 2 and 5 years just seems like a really shitty period of time to me. And when it was decreased, I was like, oh, that's quite lucky. I'd rather have 2 weeks than 5 years. I think 5 years is it. Like if I knew my current relationship was going to last 5 years, I'd be like, nope.
I just sort of wondered how it would work. So they both decide, okay, we won't look, but then they will have an expiration date anyway. So how would that work if they don't know what it is?
Yeah, I was wondering, does their house just randomly lock them out one day and then they're like, I guess that's it? I was wondering about that. I thought that was a very... But I guess, I mean, maybe that's part of the... Maybe it doesn't matter because it's... Maybe if they choose to stay together... despite the expiration date. Maybe that counts as a success metric.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you don't have
Well, that's what we know, like, in the end, right? That...
The only way to stay together is to run away because, you know, they sick the Goonies on you there, you know? They're goons on you, you know?
But maybe one way to succeed is to just say, well, we have an expiration date, but we won't look at it and we won't respect it and we'll just stay together. Maybe that's like a more peaceful way of winning.
Right. I was actually surprised that the algorithm or that the application or whatever even allowed that. I was surprised that like after like, you know, a couple of minutes it said you have to push this now or we'll kill you or something, you know? Or we'll sick the goons on you, you know? We'll sick the goons. Like I was totally surprised that that was even an option. Let's not push this. Like
I feel like she gets all upset at him for looking and I'm like, honestly though,
I think that's fair because they agreed not to look, right? It's more of the betrayal of trust.
Like if he didn't look, they'd never get the chance to. It seemed odd because it's like so their version of their consciousness doesn't seem to know how it all works.
Yeah.
Right.
So they don't seem to know that it'll pre-warn you when you've got your perfect match. Yeah. So maybe he's sitting there going, like, is this the perfect match? So like, from her end, she just doesn't want to know and let it be organic. But from his end, he's like, I need to know because we can invest 5 years into this and then nothing?
Like, I don't think that's why he looks. I think he wants to know, like, am I going to have a day with her or 20 years? Like, I think that's more what he wants to know than if... Because I think it would have told them. Because remember, I mean, maybe... We don't know what they know and what they don't know. So, you know, presumably they know that they'll know when they get a perfect match.
That's what I thought. I was under the impression they knew this wasn't their final match.
Right. So they're like, you know what? I don't want this to end, so I'm not going to push it. And the moment I push it, I know exactly when it's going to end, and I don't want to know that.
Because I guess the thing I was wondering, before I was sure that this was the simulation or, like, wasn't actually happening in one way or another, I guess I wasn't sure if... Because technically every relationship expires at some point, right? Because someone dies. I was wondering if it could potentially show you the death, as in like the time you have till one of you dies, alternatively. But I guess now that we know it's a simulation, I don't suppose it does.
That's the other thing with the simulation and their percentage rate, Tanya. That raises a good question, like. They don't seem to be put through any of the other things that do test a relationship in real life, like financial difficulties, unexpected pregnancies, job issues.
I feel like that would be much better if they had like a system that simulates what happens. We run you through these 10 difficult relationship scenarios. Do you stay together if you get pregnant?
Yeah, I mean, let's
remember though that
on a resort together.
Right, but let's remember.
Maybe the system does that. Maybe
let's remember that this is only one scenario we've seen. As much as we think we've seen a whole bunch because we saw them with other couples. I mean, pretty much all of like, for instance, all of his time with her, with the horrible woman, is irrelevant because that wasn't what this simulation was about. And all of her time with her little fuckboys is irrelevant because that wasn't what we were trying to find out. We were trying to find out
if fuck with girl. Them
together. Right. You know, like all of that time is irrelevant because this is only one. We actually only saw one scenario. We saw what happens if these two get paired up, but only for a day. Like that's all we've seen. So there could be, for all we know, there could be a what happens if you get together and there's a flood and you're stuck on an abandoned island somewhere. You know, I mean, there could be billions of different scenarios.
That change, like, doesn't that add more variables that then change?
Maybe
the outcome. Like
99.8% of the time they came together. I mean, for all we know, the last one was like, what happens if we have a kid together and he dies? You know, I mean, we have no idea what those other 99.8% were.
Yeah, I mean, you could have like 1,000 remarkably different scenarios. And if you, I feel like it's still representative if you put every potential pairing through the same 1,000 scenarios. Like every pairing has one scenario where they get pregnant unexpectedly or whatever.
Right, right.
I feel like that would still work.
Except for the gay ones.
Well, <Yeah. laughs>
Although I guess you could unexpectedly get pregnant with someone else when you cheated.
I mean, that's a different issue, I guess, right? Have you seen Jane the Virgin?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
Like, are you familiar with the concept? I've never seen it, but I'm familiar with the concept.
Artificially inseminated with someone else.
Like, on accident.
So, like, she gets pregnant but with someone else without cheating. So, I guess that could happen.
Yeah, and it's because, isn't it because, like, the doctor makes a mistake when she goes in for the exam?
Yeah. This is in the first episode. This is not a spoiler. Everyone should go watch this. Best. We watched this after Black Mirror because it was more wholesome.
That's funny. I love the idea that an art like unintentionally pregnancy is more wholesome than this.
Oh, it's a very wholesome show. I love it. It makes me really happy. It's great. Everyone should watch it. We should be okay about it.
Yeah, it's E4, isn't it?
What was that?
It's E4, isn't it? Jane the Virgin.
It's what?
I think
on E4.
I've never watched it. I'm guessing it's Netflix, is right?
Yeah,
is that right?
It is, yeah. So I can't watch
in
it.
In the UK,
so
it's on E4.
I had to get my boyfriend into it so I can watch it.
So, feel free to edit this out, Glenn, because I'm going to kind of put you and David on blast. But from your perspective and your sexuality, would you have rather seen this episode be with a same-sex couple?
Oh, I would love it, yeah.
It would be nice, but, I mean, I thought it worked as it was, you know?
Yeah,
I cared about these characters either way, and I really wanted them to get away together, so it worked as it was. I mean, it's always good to see more LGBT representation, but in this case, I thought it worked fine as it was.
Yeah, I can get into romance between the straight couples.
Right. I mean, that's where I think, you know, where I know you were upset that they showed her with a girl, though. I think that's good, because at least to show that that's part of the algorithm was nice. I mean, maybe even if it had been just a gay couple in the background at the wedding would have been nice.
Yeah, at some point I was a bit annoyed about how straight it was.
Yeah, I don't feel like it was a good representation. That's kind of what annoyed me. It seemed like the stereotypical representation. It's
we don't know how she really felt about it. So.
Yeah, that's true. I don't feel like there's enough bi characters.
It almost struck me as tokenism in that it was like, we get it for a second, that's it, you know? I barely even noticed it, you know?
That's what I mean. So to me, it felt, it still felt like an underrepresentation. And I mean, to be honest with you guys, I have a hard time getting too invested in like same-sex couples on screen, but it's not like it bothers me. It's just, I don't have anything to really, like connect with. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't strike chords with me because I'm not.
I think when you're gay, you have to. Like, I mean, because, you know, for instance, up until, you know, 5-10 years ago, if I couldn't relate to a straight couple in a movie, I couldn't watch anything because that's pretty much all there was, you know. So you kind of, I think when you grow up LGBT, you know that, like, you're not going to see a lot of this stuff. So you kind of have to invest yourself in things that are different than you. Which
but
is
I mean,
fine.
Also, I've never had any trouble.
Are you conditioned to enjoy these things?
Right.
But I mean, we don't see enough of that, but I've never had trouble.
Right.
Like, empathizing with like a couple of gay men if I saw them on TV. Like, I can empathize with that relationship even though it's got nothing to do with myself or my preferences.
Right. And I think
can't, but it doesn't play into my humanity, is what I mean. Do you know what I mean?
The problem, Hannah, is I think that when you're in a world where you see so little of the other, that you consider it so other, I can't relate to it, in the sense that, like, I think being gay and being Jewish, although I'm not religious, but I'm, you know, was brought up that way, and being a nerd and all this stuff, I've understood that, like, there are lots of ways in which I'm different from people, so this is just one of them. So, like, to say that, like, okay, so a straight couple is different from me. Well, they are, but so is, you know, a black couple in America and what they go through, or an interracial couple, or, you know, or a jock and a cheerleader. Like, that's totally different from my experience. Or you know, every single, your relationship is completely different from mine. Jock's relationship is completely different from mine. Every relationship on the planet is different. And when we understand that, we can find our similarities better, I think, you know?
I mean, like, I want to be clear that I'm not offended when she thinks that. It's about me being able to connect in the same way or live vicariously through those characters in that fantasy type of mentality that watching stuff like that brings to you. You know what I mean?
Hannah, outside of like romance-related plots, how did you feel about empathizing with like male main characters?
That's very easy for me to do.
And I think that's part of the thing is that
probably easier that than female when I'm like reading.
We've conditioned ourselves to like think of certain things as more other than other things. And I think on some level you kind of get to understand with time that we're all other and we're all the same. And I think that's when you can kind of start to, that's when you get a better world, when we all understand that we all have our differences and similarities, and we just have to figure out what those are and try to relate with each other on the things that we're similar in. You know, you and I are very different people. We have different politics. We have different things.
Very different, yeah.
But we can come together on a love for Vok and a love for Game of Thrones and, well, sometimes, and this episode and whatever. And that is more of a similarity than I may have with the gay guy next door.
Right.
And that's the thing I think is where we come to when we get to world is that, you know, you find the things that bring you together with people. And you don't focus on the things that tear you apart or make you different, you know? And I mean, there may be a guy my age, my life experience or whatever, who's gay and white and Jewish and adopted and all the other things in life I am and liberal, who I couldn't have a good conversation with because like you and I can over Vok, you know?
Yeah.
You just got to find those things that bring people together, I think.
So then my other question is, I guess it's kind of why the whole thing with her being with a woman bothered me, is that if there is like representation of same-sex couples in media, I personally, I'm not going to say connect with, but I would rather see male same-sex couples than female. Is that weird? Like,
why do you think that is?
Probably because you like guys, so you can imagine liking a girl.
I do like guys. I can't imagine liking a girl.
Right.
I also feel like it is more. It's still the most underrepresented. I mean, even on something like Orange Is the New Black, which shows a lot of, you know, it has a lot of representation for the LGBTQ community. I still feel like the male same-sex couple representation is very lacking. And again, it's because of that societal thing with hetero men. Like, yeah, I love to watch girl on girl. Right.
There's truth to
but,
that.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. That's the thing, because I do feel like a lot of the female same-sex relationships we see are very much through a male gaze. And if you, for example, absolutely. Look at A Song of Ice and Fire, we do have... Like, with Renly and Loras, we do have a genuine gay, like, we've got gay men who are in a genuine loving relationship, as far as we can tell.
Well, if you read between the lines, you have to read between the lines.
Yeah,
sure. But
meanwhile, we see Cersei and Dany getting it on with their maids.
Yeah, but that's purely sexual, right? That doesn't seem to be any kind of...
Right.
I agree.
That's titillation.
There doesn't seem to be any genuine affection there on that level, and I feel like that's the same in a lot of media, and I feel like... Mm-hmm. It's quite rare to see relationships between... I get the impression I've seen more relationships between men on screen than between women that I feel like for their own sake.
And yeah, not just a lot of it, you know, there's a lot of invisibility out there. I think there's a lot of invisibility. There's a lot of it, period, and I think you just have to... You know, I don't think it's a contest.
No, and both are underrepresented. I mean, this is like... Pretty like anyone on that show. I don't know.
I watched it. Honestly, that's the only part that interests me. I stopped watching it for years because it did get so ridiculous, like with the whole Denny.
Yeah. I mean,
I didn't watch it until like Netflix had it on, and I'm like, okay, I'll spend one weekend watching all of it, but I'm not gonna be married to it for my life.
This is the one show I keep up with religiously. So let's
do a cast on it. Yeah, I'm down.
I mean, we've talked about this on like every episode we've been on together.
And the rest of us are sitting here like, what?
Would you use this dating app? that has...
Okay, there's two apps we're talking about. There's the actual, like, there's the In the World app, the app that they have in the world, and then there's the what they really ended up being.
So let's go around and give our answers for both of those.
No or no.
Yes. Neither. And yes.
No, to either.
99.8% success, I would take that.
I mean, you don't know... The other thing we don't know is the data on how well this actually... Like, how well the algorithm actually performs, right? You'd have to match that against...
30 seconds in the real world.
Yeah. We don't know how reliably this actually maps to people staying together in the real world. So we don't actually know how good the... Like, how useful the algorithm is.
For every person you do on it... And for every person you do on it, you're basically torturing 1,000 other people.
If you think the simulations are people you're torturing.
Right, which is obviously the question, but...
Depends how good the simulation is.
So we don't... So
those other people are you. They're really you, though, so you're torturing yourself.
So we don't know how well this performs, and we don't know...
That makes it hard to answer the question. I'd
have to know whether there's other success metrics or whether running away together is the only thing, because I don't see myself doing that.
In the world, the idea of, hey, I can get matched up with whatever, check it out, see how it works and learn about me through that, and that I like. The only part of that I don't like is the forced ending. Either forced to leave or being stuck with someone I don't want to have. Like, that part's horrible to me. Mm-hmm. But if it was a little more flexible and we could like go, no, I want to stay together at the end of our time, or we could go, let's end this now, when you're
I'd stuck be okay with the having to end it. I wouldn't be okay with the having to stay in the relationship.
I feel like I guess maybe I'm older and I'm romantic now. I feel almost the opposite. I feel like it would be awful to be stuck with someone horrible for a while, but at least that's going to end. If I love this person and I want to be with them, if I can't ever be with them again, that to me is much worse of an ending.
I've been stuck in a horrible relationship. I'd rather lose someone I really want to be with than spend 5 years stuck in a horrible relationship that I can't leave.
It may also be our different ages. Now, I'm getting older, so the idea of like the right one could come along and I could lose it is scarier to me than the idea of being stuck with someone I don't like.
I'd rather die alone than spend 5 years stuck with my ex.
I'll say this, though. It's easier to say that when you're young than when you're old.
I mean, I see your point. And I feel like this is why I feel like 5 years is also in general a shitty time to be with anyone, right? Because I feel like if I knew I was going to be with my current boyfriend for 5 years, I'd just break up now, because I wouldn't want to waste that time during which I could potentially meet someone else.
Which is true.
The
part for me that makes it not so bad is the fact that we know there is an end date. Like, as opposed to, I'm going to, you and I got together and we weren't really working it out, maybe because I'm gay, but we have a kid, so then it becomes this, do we stay together for the kids? And now we're stuck together for at least 20 years, like, I mean, people do stay with people they don't want to be with forever.
Yeah. That's true.
At least in this world, we know they can get out of it. It may be, a year down the line. But...
Unless it's your pairing day and you're stuck forever.
Right. But then theoretically, the app already knows that this is your perfect mate.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
So that shouldn't happen.
Unless, of course, it's wrong, which is another problem.
That's
but
true.
But in the real world app, it's really hard to say because we only saw a few seconds of it. Like, in theory, if it actually is going to run these simulations and figure out who I'll work with and has a 98% success rate, although we don't know that that's an actual success rate, it's only a success rate of the simulation.
That's the match rate, right? It's not the success rate.
It's the simulation rate, not the real world. Right. So, but I'd be cool with that, especially since I'm not – I mean – if I was living through the simulation, that might be different, because I don't know if I want to sit through a
No, I wouldn't want to be the simulation.
but if you're just going to take my data and my mindset and put it through a bunch of stuff and then come back and give me an answer, this guy's good for you, I'm cool with that.
I would, for the real world one, I would say no, unless I knew there was a more sensible success metric than the stupid running away together thing, because I don't think that tells you much about it. Like, what's that? They don't even know what the other one's opinion on reproductive rights is. Like, this is important. How is this relevant to running away together? You can run away with someone who doesn't have the same opinions as you on reproductive rights, and I think that would be a terrible basis for a relationship. So for the real one, I would say, like for the real world one that runs the simulations, I would say no. For the one within the within the simulation, I don't know. Like the thought of being stuck in a horrible relationship for five years that I can't leave. Maybe I'd rather not find my perfect match than be stuck in a terrible. But maybe, but if it's time, if it's your perfect, that one's more difficult.
It's tough.
That one's more difficult. Maybe yes. Maybe because you're right. Like it would end. And if it was like that level of like what the guy and the other girl have, I think that's like, it's not great, but it's tolerable, right? I mean,
I don't know. That seemed pretty awful to me. What do you mean the
our main guy, the 1 year relationship? Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the girl's one didn't seem so bad. I mean, the biggest thing about him is that he did the, you know,
bothered by.
Right. I mean, it just seems so bizarre.
I guess it wasn't really that thing that bothered her. I guess she just didn't like it. I guess when you don't like someone, you pick up
on
him. Like, if she liked him, it wouldn't bother her.
I mean, clearly she saw him, thought she was hot, and wanted to fuck him, and then realized, oh, well, we have nothing in common, and oh, he does this annoying thing.
Yeah, I mean,
it
bothered her because she didn't like him. If she'd liked him,
right.
It wouldn't bother her. So these things work. But
you know, here's something we never saw. After that first, like, week or two, do you think they were still fucking for that whole 9 months or not?
Yeah.
I feel like they were.
Yeah.
Although, do you think she got so disgusted? I mean, especially when he's going down on her and he still does the thing afterwards. I was like, that was just creepy.
maybe he'd stop. Because she said something, right? Maybe he'd stop.
But he didn't. We never saw him stop. So.
Did we see him continue?
He still did it. He still was doing it to the end.
Oh, I don't remember that. Anyway.
I don't know. After a guy had done that to you once in the middle of sex, would you just have to be like, sorry, I can't let you do this ever again?
I don't know. I think it depends on how good the sex is. I think I could put up with it.
How good he was down there.
Yeah.
If he has afterwards.
that
was just so creepy to me. That one moment, I was just like when he did it after drinking, I was like, that's fine, whatever. But then when he did it after going down on her, I was just like,
that's true.
Oh, that's creepy.
But if he's like really, I could forgive it. I don't know. I've never been in that situation. I don't know.
With that body, I probably could forgive him a lot of things, but.
Yeah. I don't know.
I gotta say, she definitely got like some kind of hot guys all around.
Yeah, she was doing okay. She was doing okay. I don't think the main guy was the hottest option, but I also.
But clearly, it was the best one for her. So maybe that's what the lesson was kind of teaching her. Although I guess she doesn't actually learn anything from it. Is that you know, all the guys it picks for her to fuck are like these like hot guys that like you know you'd want to fuck. And maybe he's not the instant let's fuck kind because I mean they didn't right, but they got along together and were happier and you know that's who she really wanted to be with.
Yeah, I mean maybe that's the test. But...
Maybe that's a happy lesson we can take from this.
What is your confession?
My confession that I would like to be edited out is that I'm just not going to go to work. Because those people.
Uh-oh.
Well, I mean, it's something like I didn't really have to be at anyway. Although, like, it's basically like the final dress of this show we have coming in tomorrow. They load in. Mm. And so I was going to go to that, but I really wouldn't have been, like, getting paid for it. So I'm just not going to go because I'd rather talk to you.
Go do your job.
My niece and nephew are visiting.
Don't
go. I have to go speak to you, too, because my friend Barry's actually...
I'm not.
My friend Barry's, like, texting me, like, hey, are we ready to get together now? And I'm like, still podcasting. Still podcasting.
Because
she won't go over 2 hours. I was totally lying.
If it was like real work, obviously I would go, but it's not even real.
I think you should go.
Me and I together, we're going to be talking for hours, no matter what, right?
That is true. You'll be
Sarah in. I said, you throw Sarah in. I mean, we'd be lucky if we made it like under 12, you know?
Oh, no. Which is awesome.
No, it is. But you go to work. Go to work, honey. That gives
me
an
excuse. Don't go to work.
It's not even real work. It's not even like, real that's work. What I'm saying is like, it's kind of, it would be me volunteering just to make my life easier, but I don't really need to, and
I think
I don't really
okay
want
for
to.
Your time would make it like easier.
Do what
you yeah, do. That's what I'm saying, is like, I don't really have to, and I don't really want to, so
don't.
I'm just not. There is like a meeting afterward that I will probably try to catch, but that's not for a couple hours now. So I'm just not. I'm not going to race out the door. Plus, my sisters just showed up.
There we go. Why don't we wrap up the official podcast and go to after show and chat? Because I think
I feel like we did that half an hour.
Glenn, were we going to ever do, or did we do the trivia thing for season 7?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
We never did that, right? I'm not insane.
We never did that.
Okay. Did we do it?
I didn't know about it. I didn't hear about it.
Plus, I've not.
Yeah,
I thought I would have written some questions, but I forgot to do it or never got around to it in the first place. So.
Do you want me to write some up?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, I will.
Also, there's going to be another, how many Black Mirror episodes are there? There's going to be like another 30 episodes of the VOK Black Mirror discussion coming up, right?
Maybe, maybe. <Yeah.
laughs> You've got enough time to kill. Till
winter. I don't think there are that many, are there?
I'd like to plug my, I put up a call to arms on the forums for Kurt Vonnegut cast, and if you're at all interested, if you haven't read Kurt Vonnegut, you really should. And I think we're going to go do like a book club type thing with it is what we're going to end up doing. So even first time readers are welcome and encouraged. And if you're already a fan, then please join in the fun. There's a CTA up on the forums.
I'm going to be on it, hopefully.
I've never read him, although I went to school with his son or something like that.
Oh, really? That
I went to Milton Academy, and I think his son was there.
Damn.
Or worked there. I think his son worked there is what it was. That was it.
He's my very favorite author, so I'm like... Can I go on the back?
That's funny. No, I think Stephen King's son went to my school, and Kurt Vonnegut's son like worked there or something like that.
No one interesting ever went anywhere near my school, except for me.
It was private.
My sister went to
you
high
went
school.
To your sphere.
There you go. Yep.
Lindsay
you're
Davenport.
You're vaguely interesting.
Moderately interesting. Sorry, Hannah, what were you saying?
Oh, I was just going to say, my sister went to high school with Lindsay Davenport, the famous American tennis player, like the 90s. It's as interesting as we get. I saw Phyllis Diller once in the Beverly Hills Hilton. It has nothing to do with anything.
Ian McKellen owns a pub in walking distance from my flat.
I think that eventually, within the next few months, Paul and I are going to kind of tag team doing a Dune cast of some ilk, possibly a reread. So again, if you're interested in that, keep your eyes out for that. So there are some in the works.
As always. There's always so much happening. I love to be okay.
I know there's a lot of topics, a lot you can talk about, and a lot of call to arms as well. So a lot of things you can get involved with.
We should plug the best of 2017. So if you want to record like
coming.
5 minutes about... I don't know. I'm tired.
David promoted it earlier in the episode.
I mentioned it. Well, I don't know if we're editing it out, what we're editing or not, but because obviously you can't use all of this.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about your favorite things from 2017, you can do that and send it to Bina, and it'll be on the best of 2017 episode.
That's right. Movie, TV show, book, CD,
board games, plays,
whatever,
anything.
No, that's
if you want to talk with me about Firefly, you should talk with me about Firefly, the board game.
There you go. I still haven't seen the TV show.
Oh, they never played.
And you
we
should.
We also just recorded the clown.
Was that?
We also just recorded the clown episode.
Clown.
And I would.
Crown.
The clown.
Oh, the crown.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And Bina couldn't make it, so I was the only British person there.
Sometimes I do search for Vassals of Kingsgrave and find like links to foreign websites that have, I don't know, you can download our episodes for some reason, but it's rare.
I wonder what how that came about. Like, is they just taking anything to try to like get clicks or something?
Possibly, yeah.
It's the strangest version of piracy ever, if it is.
I love people pirating me. Okay, this is my favorite.
Right, that's okay. We're okay with that since we don't make any money off it. We don't
yeah,
care.
Can you pirate something that doesn't make any money? I don't know.
Be okay, clickbait. Awesome.
Like,
there you go. There's like, you know, there's probably like a cult of like 50 people somewhere in China who just never miss one of our episodes, who are like,
they
oh my God. And they share them, and like maybe someone actually sells them and tries to make money. There's like someone on the street going, hey, you need some Voc? I got Voc here for you. You want some Voc? Don't tell anyone.
Oh, remember when there was plans to do a foreign language? The okay and
yeah,
like,
that would be
you were going.
Oh yeah, that's never happened.
It's not right. Because Tanya, didn't you want to do it?
I didn't. I wasn't sure. I
think that was Marie.
Oh right, Marie.
I said I'd be up
yeah,
for
Marie
it, but
and
I found
Alex.
It difficult to see the point.
Well, like, that would be the tough part, because how would someone find it? You know, like someone who doesn't speak English isn't listening to our podcast. So
and
how
like
they
our
even
French
find
listeners are already listening, and obviously, but it's also what would I talk about in German that I haven't talked about in English? Like I don't really see the point.
Right.
I'm not. And why would I make something less accessible?
No, that
talk
makes
about
sense.
Something I've either talked about or.
Right. And anyone who does, and let's say you put out one in German that's really cool and the people love it, then they want to hear more. And oh wait, everything else is in English.
Yeah. And like, what's
I did like really a call to cast idea though.
What?
Like, people from the different areas of the world that we have on here doing a cultural cast.
That would be
like,
so cool.
Yeah,
because
like,
if
we want
to
do I'd also get a linguistic one.
Yeah, he brings up some ridiculous Danish thing, and I'm like,
yeah.
Tell me more.
I feel like every podcast with Patrick is Danish culture cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did join
I think we should
and
do...
it was recorded, one in all about Danish culture and, like, quests about Danish culture. So it was like the premise was Patrick would ask all these questions for people that obviously don't know the answer because they live outside of Denmark, and we had to guess, like, so he would say a phrase and we had to guess what it meant, that sort of thing. But it was recorded, but it just hasn't been edited and released.
Oh, that would be fun.
I remember Patrick telling me I wasn't going to be on it for the sole reason that I might know some of the answers.
I've been to Denmark, so does that count? On a roller coaster trip, so. In fact, I've even made use of the Denmark public health system because I dislocated my shoulder at an amusement park on a trampoline had to get rushed to the hospital.
So speaking of roller coasters, David.
Yes.
You live in Boston.
Right.
Which, if I am thinking, is not crazy hard to get from there to Virginia. Is that right?
I've been there. Why?
Well, because I'm going to be in Virginia and I'm going to Busch Gardens in June.
Ah,
you guys
Boston
should
Park.
Hang out.
So you should moot up with me
you
at Busch Gardens.
Moot. Can I also come?
There we
yes.
go.
Yes.
Fly can
over
my flights.
Yeah, I'm gonna be out there for a few days helping my friend. She's exiting military service and moving back out here.
Oh, when?
In June, like middle end of June.
Possibly, it's possible. Let's see what. Let
I
me
know
see
it'll.
What's going on.
The weather will probably be nasty, but Busch Gardens is fucking amazing. So
Busch is good. There's also another park not too far from there, a few hour like 2 hour drive or whatever called. King's Dominion.
Yeah, we looked into that when we went to Busch Gardens last time, but Busch Gardens is only like 40 minutes away. She lives in Norfolk.
Right. I would definitely do both. I mean, I've been, when I go,
yeah.
I use, there's three parks in the area. There's Six Flags America in like outside Baltimore. And then there's those two. So, and I usually do all three if I go. I actually haven't been in probably 7, 8 years now. Last
I'm
going
to take the extra day off work just so we can go to Busch Gardens, but really I'm only out there to like help her move, so
right.
We got limited time window, but we're definitely doing that because it's going to be feasibly our so.
Can you Skype me into the moot? I will cry if you don't, but no pressure.
I will. We should try to get some of the other...
I know. I'm surprised we don't do Skype at moots, like Boston moot. No one had the thing. Like, we should have Skype. That would get everyone. We should do a, like, one time, like, try to get, like, six different moots around the country going, around the world going
that
on.
That would be so cool. I think time zones are a bit
right.
difficult. Like, if you just do it in the US, it would be fine.
And realistically, I guess it would be weird because you couldn't have a headset. I mean, technically, I guess you could argue that every single podcast is a moot because, you know, here we're talking with people all over the world, you know?
True. I'm waiting for Dr. Blood's little baby Blood to get a little older, and then I'm going to try to moot with her.
Can you Skype me and I will cry if you don't?
I will. Yeah, I want to get, like, Amber involved as well.
I want to moot with Amber.
It's not impossible for Amber to get over here.
Okay, I'm going to go. Did you ever get around to that mini VOK thing with all the kids?
Please do the mini VOK thing.
We never did, no. I mean, I haven't heard from Nadia in forever, and I was hoping she might be interested in being involved, but I don't know.
Patrick has two mini Vikings.
Yeah, and then Brett's got his, and Adam's got
his a mini guy. Yeah.
See, Adam and my son are relatively close in age and like of talking age, so
they could podcast.
I feel like it'll be more centric on that, but yeah, I mean, I'm still interested in doing it. I don't want to like push people too hard because I know it can be a weird area. Yeah. Like I was gonna do like the pet chat, and then like people got offended. Like I don't want to talk about my animals.
I don't think anyone got offended, but I think it's some people are more private than others.
Right. Yeah, so I was like, maybe not. Like, you know.
Well, I mean, it is interesting to think that we do have like, I mean, a minimum of 1,000 people listen to every podcast.
I wouldn't talk about my periods so much if I realized that there's people listening. I just think it's you.
But
guys.
You know what? I think that's one of the great things about us is that you know.
Talking about my periods.
Well, that and in general, the fact that you feel comfortable enough to do so, though, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, without realizing
1,000 people. About my period in real life, so.
There you go.
I talk it's about periods in real life a lot as well.
Yeah. She's out and about.
I always love Margaret Cho's bit about, like, you know, what if straight men got their period? We always laugh at how women talk about it all the time, but considering how often it happened, it's so little. And, like, if men got it, we talk about it
oh,
all the time.
God, yeah.
So funny.
Straight men and it's, do get and their period going, because once a month, all the guys at work get crazy pissy, and it's always around my cycle, and I'm like, you guys are having sympathy. And you're all being little bitches, and you're pushing my buttons.
Think about it. Look for it online. You can find it. She does a whole thing about if straight men got period, and it's really funny. Like, they'd never be prepared. They'd be like, hey, do you have an extra for me? I'll take the sports section, whatever. And then she does a, like, and then she goes, and what if gay men got their period? And she's like, what do you mean, what if?
Yeah. I will say this about your periods, okay? There is a video out on YouTube right now of, like, some really low fat percentage exercise person. And he has, like, a Charlie horse in his leg, and you can actually see the muscle through his skin cramping. If you would like to have any indication of what women go through, watch that video and then imagine it's in your lower abdomen, like, up inside where your balls are.
Well, I had
that will give you an idea.
I had kidney stones, and they say that's the only thing that can even remotely compare to pregnancy. And I'm like, and at that moment, I was very glad to be a man. I have to run in about a second, so, because my friend Barry just gave me a 2-minute warning that he's here. So he's actually here now. So I got to run, guys. Right, it was awesome talking to you all. I'll talk to you all
bye.
Soon.
Bye.
Let me figure out what am I doing. Oh,
there's actually been a bag kind of thing devised which can fertilize babies without a womb.
Are we being made redundant?
I know there's those muscle stimulation things too that like they put on men that simulate cramps.
Oh yeah.
And apparent, like from their reaction, it definitely seems like, okay, it's probably close, but just still you can turn that off. I can't really like opt out.
Yeah. I don't get periods anymore, and it was the best. I do not miss having periods at all. I miss my menstrual cup because I love my menstrual cup very much. But I do not miss having periods. Life is so much better now.
No, yeah. I miss my period, said no woman ever. I mean, unless you're pregnant and you don't want to be, then I guess maybe.
True. That scares me a tiny bit, because presumably the fact that I'm not getting periods means it's working. But I also, like, if I ended up pregnant despite having the implant, it would take forever for me to notice. I would never notice.
Even if you did, Tanya, you would, like, 100% chance miscarry that shit. There's no way. Your womb is going to be a hospital environment, or like a hostile environment with that thing in there.
That does not make me feel better.
I'm just saying, like, there really is like a 0% chance you're going to get pregnant. I think the statistic is like 0.001%.
It said something like less than 1 in 1,000.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like, but the fact that I wouldn't be able to notice that I'm pregnant is pretty scary. I went through a phase of like getting really nauseous all the time, which is presumably like maybe caused by the implant or whatever. But everything made me nauseous for a while, and that was slightly stressful.
You're good.
But but it's just weird because if I was pregnant, I'd never even find out.
Did you have one period after it was in, or none?
Yeah, I had one very early on. Like, that was earlier than it should have, as in, than it.
Yeah. That's how, when I had mine in it, I spotted for a little bit, and then, like, 2 weeks later, I had, like, a mini one, and then nothing for... I had it in.
So worried I was going to be one of those women that just bleeds nonstop.
Although, my husband has a vasectomy, so there was no chance of me getting pregnant anyway.
Why did you get the, did you get it for, like... I mean, I got it
because of my periods and ovarian cysts.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I made the appointment. Yeah. I didn't get it because of my boyfriend or anything. So.
Yeah, like it was funny though, because when I went to go have it removed, I was like, "Well, but what if I get pregnant?" And my husband looked at me like, "How?" And I was like, because I'm going to get this out. Like, I had totally forgotten that he had vasectomy. And then there was another time where we were talking about, like, if the world ended. And I was like, well, you'd have to repopulate the earth. And he's like, how? He's like, I keep forgetting it's been so long.
Did you feel the, as in, like, so I feel like sometimes where the implant is hurts a little bit. Did you get that?
I didn't, but he did. When we would engage, he said that he could feel it pinching.
Really?
And he wasn't supposed to.
Right.
But he didn't want to make me feel bad about it, so he never said anything for like 3 fucking years.
Right.
So I just want to say my husband is the best. What a patient man.
Yeah. Because I feel like it hurts a little bit sometimes. And I also feel like sometimes my left, if I lie on my left arm, my left hand gets a bit numb.
Oh, you have it in your arm?
In a way that, yeah. Where did you have
it? I had it in my uterus.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, so you had like an IUD or something?
Yeah.
No, I've got the hormonal implant thing.
Yeah, no, I had the IUD one, so.
Right.
Okay, so then the things that I was saying for you to be worried about, you probably don't need to. Yeah, it won't affect you.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
It gives, like, there's a coppery whole deal when it's in your uterus that...
Oh, of course. I would never get an IUD. I couldn't. I mean, I'm like, glad they exist, because different things are better for different people. So I'm glad...
Yeah, I mean, I never felt it. It hurt coming out, though. Like, that really hurt.
Mm.
And then they, like, okay, if you want to know what it's like, there's a YouTube channel that's, like, if commercials were real, or if movie trailers were honest, if businesses were honest. They do one that if like the IUD ads were honest, and it's so dead on. It's funny, but it's also like dead on, honestly.
Sounds stressful.
It's pretty
maybe I don't want to watch that.
It's pretty exact. They're like, we're going to rip it out of you and then give you one ibuprofen to go home with, even though you're going to feel like the seventh circle of hell is running around in your body. Like,
God. I will not be into that.
Anyway, well, I'm going to go. And I love you guys. And I'm going to talk to you later. All right. Adios. Hey, thank you.
See you, Hannah.
Awesome. Let's do it again really soon. Yes.
Yes, it's podcast.
Yeah.
More Black Mirror.
All the Black Mirror.
I'm going to figure out my whole recording deal, Glenn. So if you want me to take some and be the ringleader, I'm willing and able.
Yeah, okay. Great.
Okay. All right,
especially,
cool.
I think there might be... That would be great if you can, you know, host some that I might not be able to join.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to keep troubleshooting it and get it all set up. And then once I do, we can throw out another CTA and plan another one.
Cool.
Maybe let David get a few more into it.
Mm-hmm.
I want you guys to finish 4 so we can, like, not have to worry too much about spoilers.
Yeah, that would be good. I think it would be
not
easier
if it all starts. Begin with anyway, but, like, you just don't want to get spoiled on any little bits.
Yeah. I also prefer not even knowing what themes are out there, as in, like, oh, there's, like, one about social media.
Exactly.
Or I'd rather not even know that and be completely surprised by everything, because I don't want to be like, oh, is this the one that Hannah mentioned? I just don't want to know anything.
Right. I think it's best to be a blank slate when you watch it, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad, like, when I discovered the show, like, the person that told me about it didn't tell me anything about it. That's why I didn't realize it was, like, Twilight Zone, where it's standalone episodes. Because
I went into it not knowing anything. I don't know. I think I knew it was standalone.
I'm not going to tell you anything except for watch this show.